It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio on the first day of September, Labor Day weekend. Happy Labor Day weekend to all of you. And for those of you who are going to head out in the field today, the sun will be coming up shortly for doves and the nuisance. I love that name, the nuisance Canada goose season opening. And all across America, people head to the woods and into the fields for the first time in pretty much across America on September 1st when it comes to hunting. And it strikes me as we do so here in Illinois for, well, virtually, I think, since the beginning of dove hunting in Illinois until about 15 or so years ago, dove hunting in Illinois always began at noon. And, in fact, was something you did in the afternoon. And then it was moved to the morning, particularly to make it easier for people in downstate Illinois where it gets so hot in the afternoon early in the season to hunt in the afternoon. But now we have a dawn opener, and that'll be just in a little bit here for those of you on your driving in your cars on the way to it. For the rest of us who still believe in afternoon hunting, we can do that this beginning this afternoon. Of course, Wisconsin has a dove season, which it hadn't had for a long time, and now it's had for a number of years. In fact, it never had a dove season until a few years ago. So dove hunting kicks off the beginning of fall. I don't think of goose hunting as doing that because we're hunting geese that are spending most of their time in the local shopping mall or in parking lots, and that's why they call it an urban season or a nuisance goose season across America. There was big news, I mean really big news this week for the National Parks Foundation. It received a $100 million gift, the largest in U.S. national park system in the country's history. And the first U.S. national park, of course, was Yellowstone, which was established in 1872. And since then, we have over 430 national parks, memorials, rivers, trails, and more. And all the National Park Services manages more than 85 million acres of protected lands, which are in every state in America, and according to the National Park Service, are visited by over 300 million visitors a year. Well, 300 million visitors a year would mean that virtually every American went to a national park. So we know that's not true. But we know that our national parks are the most visited areas in our country. And in that 320 million visitors a year, we have people who are counted many times who go to the same parks, go to different parks. They have national parks passes. But suffice to say that this gift of $100 million is going to what many consider to be America's greatest treasure, our national park system. And the grant comes from Eli Lilly, the pharmaceutical firm, and it will fund numerous priorities, including conservation efforts in Florida and grants to facilitate more visits from young people and urban people. National parks traditionally are in our rural areas. Think of Yellowstone, think of Yosemite, think of Glacier, think of all the parks that are not close to cities. But there are also a number of national parks that are in and around national monuments around urban areas. And the goal and part of this is to get more people, young people, engaged in going to our national parks. The gift is going actually to the National Parks Foundation, which is separate from the National Parks Service, fortunately. National Parks Foundation is not a governmental agency. And it was created in the 1960s to support the national park system through private donations. Congress last year, this is a big number, appropriated $3.3 billion to our national parks in the 2024 fiscal year budget. So Eli Lilly is giving the largest private gift ever, $100 million. Put that in context of the $3.3 billion that the federal government is spending annually on our national parks. And yet so much of the infrastructure in our national parks has declined, decayed, is no longer current. It's part of this incredible infrastructure backlog that we have across America. It's not just our roads and bridges. It's our U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. It's our national parks. Everywhere we look in the outdoors, we unfortunately have maintenance issues that have just not been addressed over time. But $100 million, great work by Eli Lilly. And around the world for a moment, Namibia, that's a long way from downtown Chicago this morning on Labor Day weekend. But Namibia, and I'll be more into this next week, Namibia is having to cull wild herds of elephants and other big game animals due to an absolutely horrific drought that is gripping much of South Central Africa. I'll have more on it in the coming weeks, but there's no question that Namibia is really suffering, and that there will be a serious reduction in big game animals and plains animals across Namibia due to the fact that they're just having a horrible drought in the southern part of Africa. Chris Dorsey often reports on things that are happening in the outdoor world, and on this Labor Day weekend, I'm going to talk about some of the things that he has picked up in his Chris Dorsey's Outdoor World report, which I read every week, and they're often things of interest to those of us in Illinois, and because so much of the country follows California, I think we ought to pay attention to this one. California, and particularly in Illinois, where we tend to have some of the same policies as California. The California legislature recently passed two bills that will severely restrict how firearms are kept in the home, and they're expected to be signed by Governor Newsom. The bills require that guns be stored in a Department of Justice approved safety device. In other words, the safe you may have in your home in California, if it is on the DOJ approved safety device list, it now will become illegal. So numerous entities are going to sue the state of California, saying this is an infringement on personal rights. And I mentioned it because I don't think it's just a California issue. So I said a moment ago, what happens in California tends to work its way across the country in many ways. So the feeling is that this is a direct affront to the ability of individuals to lawfully own firearms and to keep them in locations in their houses that they so choose, by requiring that everyone in California have a DOJ, Department of Justice approved safety device in which to store their firearms. We'll see what happens there. In Colorado, I talked last week about the attack on hunting that is going through a referendum process in Colorado. I call it affectionately ballot box biology. And I think the best heading I've seen on this, and it applies across America, is hunting may not be for everyone, and that's fine. However, it's crucial that we respect the rights of others who do choose to hunt, and we recognize in a broader context that hunting is very important to wildlife management. In fact, it is central to wildlife management for many species. And in Colorado, there's a proposed ban on the hunting of mountain lions, lynx, bobcats, under the wonderful heading that cats aren't trophies. It's called the CAT Act, but it uses misleading tactics, as so often those involved in passing legislation when it comes to stopping hunting, stopping the use of firearms recreationally, they use. And they are claiming that hunting is a trophy in Colorado, a bobcats is a trophy sport only. Well, the problem with that is that trophy hunting in Colorado is illegal and has been for a long time. So the very premise of their ballot box initiative is flawed. But in the case of Colorado, which the legislature recently prohibited, this is hard to believe, but the legislature recently prohibited the Colorado Department of Natural Resources from commenting on legislation that is going to be voted on. So the Department of Natural Resources can't even comment on this bill, but they have stated that hunting of mountain lions is an essential part of their wildlife management practice, and that if mountain lions are not hunted, they will have to resort to sharpshooters and other tactics to keep their population under control, which means, as I said a bit ago, people are willing to pay fees to hunt mountain lions in Colorado. That will end if this passes, and now taxpayers will pay to have people go and hunt mountain lions to reduce their population in the very same way that hunters did. I'm going to stay with Colorado for a second because there is a really interesting sort of breakthrough technologically, if you will, and it comes from high schoolers in Colorado. And that is, high schoolers in Colorado have invented a thermal dash cam that reduces the collision with deer. So think about this. We have all these people working on projects scientifically in the insurance industry, the fish and wildlife industry, to try to reduce human-animal conflicts. And yet, here we are in Colorado, where students have come up with a way to reduce the impact of deer and elk and antelope interaction with cars. There's a school in, it's a STEM school in Highlands, Colorado, near Denver, and it's created a dash cam device that reduces wildlife collisions. It uses an infrared camera and developing AI. The device detects animals on roads and alerts the driver with LED flashes and sounds. This is part of Colorado's high wildlife collision rate incidents that is going on. And this team of high school students is developing this proactive solution, which is better than road signs saying, watch out for wildlife. This, in their prototypes, this infrared AI device can detect animals up to 500 feet away. And it won the state level for the Solve Tomorrow's Problems contest. So I would imagine pretty soon we're going to see that on the market somewhere. I'll be back in just a moment with much more on the great outdoors. And when I am back, I'm going to talk quickly about some wildfires. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about some things that are coming up in the coming months to do with something called the presidential election. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here on WGN Radio. Thank you for being with me on this first Sunday morning of September, Labor Day weekend. I hope you have a great week, rest of the weekend on Labor Day, wherever you might be. One of the places you're not going to be is in a few resort areas of the American West, which are absolutely withering under what has been a very bad fire season, which was predicted to be so months ago, and it's unfortunately come true. And one of the areas that is really under siege is the incredibly beautiful region of the Sawtooth Mountains around Stanley, Idaho, along the Salmon River and on down into the Wilderness River of No Return. The Middle Fork of the Salmon, it's some of the most incredible country and wild country in all the world, but certainly in North America. There's a fire called the Wapiti Fire, and Wapiti, of course, stands for elk. And it has burned, well, several hundred thousand acres in an area where big game seasons are about to open, where there is tremendous big game populations, but also where a lot of people live, Stanley, Idaho. When I say a lot of people, in the winter, not many people live there, maybe a few hundred. In the summer, there are thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people. And on Labor Day weekend, that would be such a place. But what's happening with these fires, which we've touched on and we're going to touch much more on in the coming year, is there's finally a movement underway. And we suffered here in the Midwest. The amount of pollution in the air from wildfires is really serious. And the quality of human health is very serious. And the Forest Service, believe it or not, here we are in 2024, and the Forest Service does not take into account air quality in managing fires and in managing forests. And there is going to be a coming groundswell that says, wake up, get with the times. You have to consider air quality and human health and lungs and the damage that smoke does to people in your forest management systems. The reason, and I've talked about this a great deal, that we have such terrible fires now is because of such terrible management for so very long with these enormous infernos just waiting to go off. And we haven't even scratched the surface. As I mentioned, when I was on the East Coast recently, the fires from Quebec came down and made the air just stink. And you couldn't even see the sun on a bright, sunny day in the coast of Maine, where ordinarily you can see until the earth turns on the horizon. In the American West, people are having to stay inside. They're leaving. Many mountainous communities simply have shut down. Evacuation costs a lot of money, but it's really a human health hazard. And in the coming years, the Forest Service can't waste a lot more time in realizing their negligence in managing so many areas has leading to these catastrophic infernos. But the problem is humans are in the way and human health is at stake. And there's absolutely no question that the amount of smoke and some of this, you know, when a home burns, when a tree burns, it's throwing off a certain kind of pollutant. When a home burns and all the plastic melts and everything else goes up with it, it's another kind of pollutant. And so this is a really serious issue. And on Labor Day weekend, you may be, depending on where you are, you may see the consequences of fires that are roaring across the American West. Unfortunately, let me talk before I'm out of time this morning. I want to talk a little bit about what we're not hearing anything about, and that is conservation issues. Republican convention is over. Democratic convention is over. We have our nominees. Everything is in full swing. And where do you hear any discussion about conservation? I'm going to do a show in the coming weeks with Britt Hume, who's been a longtime friend of mine, who just returned from both conventions, and I had dinner with him the other night. And he talked about where's our conservation ethic gone? You didn't even hear much about global warming at either convention, particularly the Democratic convention, because suddenly it's becoming a third rail issue because global warming is just fraught with so many issues surrounding it that are increasingly political because of the amount of money involved to address climate change. But there is no discussion on conservation. We are absolutely lost. And I fear for the future when we have presidential candidates of both parties who don't even talk about the quality of life that comes with great conservation management, that don't talk about the need to have professionally trained individuals running the Fish and Wildlife Service, Department of Interiors, that don't look at the things that are taking place in Colorado and other states and say, you know, ballot box biology is not how we built the great conservation movement in America. We seem to be just disconnected from it, and yet it's our greatest need for the quality of life. And conservation goes back to what I was talking about a moment ago with the Forest Service and the management of timber. It deals with our state parks in Illinois. It deals with state parks everywhere. It deals with our national wildlife refuges. It deals with the funding for agriculture. So we have a lot to talk about in the coming couple of months. Let's hope we do. On this Labor Day weekend, what I hope you have the chance to talk about is catching a big fish or going out and looking for doves and beginning to scout for deer or just having a great time with your family in the great outdoors. Thanks for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.